Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And to greet you, as always, the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And all, friend, if He isn't yours, He can be. If He isn't yours, He wants to be. If He isn't yours, He came to be, actually, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, I hope this finds you well, but I do know that it finds you blessed. Doesn't matter what your circumstance is. Doesn't matter, friend, what the trials are. Listen, we're blessed if we're in Christ Jesus. We are a blessed, blessed people. Well, Debbie and I are excited about the program, the song that she's got to do, the message that God has laid on my heart for you today, and I trust in this order, that first of all, to bring glory to God, second of all, to bring some man or woman to Christ, and then, friend, for the believer, it'll be a blessing to you. Look, I'm going to open my Bible. I don't have it there now, but I'm turning to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, and I'm going to begin reading in this great passage of Scripture, verse 13, read down a few verses of Scripture, and then share the message that God has laid on my heart. I'm excited about it. Does that surprise you? But before I do that, Deb's got a song to sing. It's a beautiful song. The title of it is Heaven's in View. And boy, it is, like she says in her song, for those who trust the Lord. I hope you do today. If you don't know Him, if you started the day lost, you can end it saved and on your way to heaven. I'll be back after the song with the message.
Jesus came.
What's ahead of you? Is it heaven? Well, I'll tell you what, there's not only a heaven to gain, there is a hell to shun. This old country preacher friend still believes in that, still believes that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us and He's coming soon, and there is a place prepared for the devil and his angels, and those that reject Christ will go there. Oh, what a sad day it'll be. What a sad day it would be when many people that could have been saved refused to be saved. Hear God Almighty, their judge, say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Hey, that doesn't happen to you. That doesn't have to happen to you. It may happen to a lot of people, and it's going to, sadly, but it doesn't have to happen to you, sir, ma'am, and I hope that it doesn't today. Thank you, Debbie, for that beautiful song. I tell you, I'd like to know more about heaven. I really would, but one day, by the grace of God, in light of what He's done at Calvary, I'll get to find out a whole lot about it. Look, in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, going to begin reading verse 13 of the Word of God says, and when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now look, Jesus isn't establishing, nor did He establish His church upon Peter, but upon the confession that Peter made that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm going to talk to you today just a little while. Simple message in many ways, but yet it's so profound, friend, that it's absolutely amazing. I want to talk to you for a little while today about the church. I'm going to talk to you about the church, the fact that it's purchased with the blood, empowered by the Spirit, and trusted with God's Word. Isn't that an amazing thing? The church. I don't know about you, but I love the church. I mean, to tell you, in the Old Testament, it was a mystery. It was never mentioned. There were some pictures and types of the church given by Almighty God to the prophets of old, to the patriarchs of old. The church was never mentioned in the Old Testament. In fact, the church is never mentioned until we come into Matthew chapter 16, this passage that I read in your hearing today, when Jesus revealed the fact that seeing that the nation of Israel had rejected the king and hence the kingdom that was promised, seeing that the kingdom is postponed, is delayed because of unbelief. And just as a side note, by the way, listen, there's a lot of things that are delayed or would never be known because of unbelief. Jesus, I'm going to build a church. Jesus said, I'm going to take me a bride. Thank God, listen, I'm going to have me a people just like Abraham sent his unnamed servant into the world of the Gentiles, back to his land of beginning, back to the house of Rebekah's daddy, and I cannot for the life of me remember who he is right now, to seek a bride for his son Isaac. Oh, look in Genesis 24, the picture of the church is given there in typology in a beautiful, beautiful way. And I want you to know, friend, that the greatest organization, and it's more than an organization, by the way, it is an organism that any man, woman, boy, or girl could be a part of, is the church of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you, friend, there's a lot of people who don't understand the church. A lot of people mock the church. A lot of people ridicule the church. But thank God, I'm glad to be a part of the church of the living God. Aren't you? I'm glad to know that I'm a citizen of another world. I'm glad to know that in this life I'm a pilgrim and I'm a stranger. I'm like Abraham. I'm seeking a city whose I'm builder and maker is God. I'm seeking a city to come. I'm glad that I'm on a journey. I'm glad that as a pilgrim, I'm on my way home. And as a stranger in this strange land, I'm away from home. But one of these days, one of these days, by the grace of God, I'll be there. That same Jesus that went away, promising before He left that He would come again, He's soon to return. But the church, isn't it a remarkable entity? Isn't it absolutely amazing? I know we failed. I'm telling you, I'm afraid that the church that Jesus purchased with His blood, empowered by His Spirit, entrusted with His Word, has failed. I have. I'm afraid we're not the light that we ought to be. I'm afraid that we're not the salt that we ought to be. But thank God we're still light. We're still salt. And even as weak as we are, even, friend, when we miss the mark, God Almighty never does. The head of the church is still strong and true. And friend, if you don't know who the head of the church is, I'm not talking about somebody that wears a funny looking hat, sits in a building somewhere in some city. Thank God. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He is the Lord of glory. He is, according to the Word of God, the head of the church. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Hey, He's ruling this thing. He's guiding this thing. He's enabling this thing called the church. That called out group of baptized believers who voluntarily come together to do their part in order to fulfill the Great Commission. I'm telling you, friend, how they get together at a stated place, at a stated time, to do a stated thing, and that is to worship the one true God. That is, I bless God to spread His message of the gospel of the grace of God. I'm telling you, friend, listen, it's that entity that stands between heaven and hell. It's that entity that lifts up the cross of Christ and the Christ of the cross as the only hope to a lost and a dying world. It's that entity, bless God, that has the greatest message that man has ever heard. It's the message of salvation by grace through faith. It's the message that we sing about, that we preach about, that we teach about, that we talk about, and it's this: Jesus saves. It is the message of the gospel, which is good news, by the way. And Paul said it like this in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all of primary importance, of foundational interest and truth, that which I received, how that Christ, look at this, died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Bless God, listen, that's good news. Christ died for our sins, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for the church of Jesus Christ. First of all, which was purchased with His blood. In the book of Acts chapter 20, we find Paul meeting the elders of the church of Ephesus. I'm down by the seashore. Oh, when Paul was on his way to Rome and eventually to Nero's chop block, he said, listen, I want to strengthen the brother. Paul was always doing that. He was either founding churches or strengthening the churches that he had founded by the grace of God. He began to preach on that seashore to the elders of the church of Ephesus, who had come from a little ways inward to hear and meet with the Apostle Paul, to be fed spiritually by him, to be encouraged from him, a man that was on his way to his death, to imprisonment. But beyond that, hallelujah, to the place Jesus had gone to prepare. And as Paul was talking to them, listen to what he said in verse 8 of Acts 20. He said, "Now take heed, brothers." He's talking to the elders, talking to those bishops, talking to those pastors. They're all one and the same office with just different characteristics of that office, different works of that office. He said, "Now listen, fellas." He said, "I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. So take heed thereof." He said, "Therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God." Now listen to this. "Which He purchased with His own blood." Thank God, I'm glad to be a part of an entity, to be part, bless God, of something God thought enough to give His own blood. Can you imagine, friend, the purchase price of the church of Jesus Christ, and those sinners who were held bound, those sinners who were unworthy and ungodly? God found in His own heart something that motivated Him to give the best that heaven had. God doesn't do like many of the church members of today do. I give God leftovers, give Him second best, I give Him what they don't want or feel like they don't need. And God, listen, friend, when He graced us, when He graced lost mankind so that He could redeem us, He chose to redeem us by the blood, and not of bulls and of goats, not of the ashes of a heifer sprinkled, not from turtle doves or pigeons, not from lambs or goats, but all with the Lamb. And the Lamb of God, John said, which came to take away the sin of the world. He was talking about God's Son. He was talking about God's only begotten Son, that was conceived in the womb of a virgin by the name of Mary, that lived among us sinlessly for 3.5 years, or for 33.5 years, did His public ministry for 3.5, died substitutionally on a cross at Calvary, and raised the third and appointed morning, bless God, so we could be justified. Paul said this, boys. He said, "Don't you forget to watch over and to take care to do the best you can with this prized possession, with this peculiar people, and that God has purchased with His own blood." I'll tell you, friend, listen, I don't know any other entity like the church of God. Listen, friend, he said, "Now the church was not only purchased with the blood of Almighty God, but it was empowered by the Spirit." Jesus told the apostles as He was seen of them after His resurrection, after His passion. Acts chapter 1 tells us that they were to tarry at Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. Isn't that amazing? He said, "Now listen, you just wait around." He said, "You don't try to do anything until that you have been enabled by the power that comes from above." And oh, you know what He was talking about? He was talking about the Holy Spirit. He said in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witness of Me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in the uttermost parts of the earth." And then listen, after He ascended, 10 days after that, on the Feast of Pentecost, on the Feast of Weeks, on that 50th day, on the morrow after the Sabbath, on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, the day that Jesus came out from among the dead, how do you know what happened? They were in the upper room. They had been praying. They had been waiting. They had been seeking God. And you know what happened? Bless God, something amazing happened. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God descended out of heaven. It filled the place where they were at. I'm telling you, it filled the men that were there and that belonged to Christ. those 11 apostles that, bless God, had followed Him while He walked up the footstool of God. They were filled with the Spirit of God. It appeared like the sound of a mighty rushing wind, like cloven tongues of fire. And you know what it did? Bless God, it empowered them. It empowered them with boldness. It empowered them with the ability and a witness for Almighty God. It empowered them how to do miracles for the glory of God, how to bring men to Christ and to convince them that their message was from God. I don't have time to talk about miracles in depth, nor the fact that the apostles here were baptized that day with the Spirit of Almighty God. But I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, when we talk about it, we need to rightly divide it. You know what it did? Gave them the ability to heal a lame man that was laid at the gate beautiful. Gave them ability, according to Acts chapter 4, to do what they did with great boldness. It gave them ability to speak the Word of God. Listen, the Bible said with boldness. Now when they saw in verse 13 of Acts 4 the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, they marveled, but they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Look, two more times in that chapter, in verse 29 and in verse 31, it talks about the boldness that they have. You know what? We have boldness when we have the Spirit of God upon us. And listen to what the Word of God said in verse 31. And when they had prayed, after all that had happened to them, they got threatened, and they got beaten, and then they got released. When they got released, they went back to their own, struck up a prayer meeting after they had a testimony service and began to tell what had happened to them. And the Bible said, listen to this, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak the Word of God with boldness. Friend, that's what we need. We need that power of God upon us to be bold witnesses for Almighty God. Hey, the church has been purchased by the blood, empowered by the Spirit, and entrusted with the Word of God. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, Paul was writing to a young man by the name of Timothy. And he said, look at this in verse 11. He said, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was entrusted to my trust. In verse 20 of the same book, chapter 6, Paul said, oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. He said in 2 Timothy 1, 13, he said, now hold fast that form of words which thou have heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. In the next chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, he said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the Lord and in the grace, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now watch this. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, unto whom shall be able to teach others also. Hey, do you know what we're to do with the Word of God? We are to receive it in this generation from the previous generation. When we receive it, we are to take it and we are to guard it. That's what Paul said to Timothy. He said, keep. He said that good thing which is committed unto thee in verse 14 of 2 Timothy 1, keep. He said, I'm by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. He said, now listen, guard it, Timothy. He said in verse, what is it? Verse, where's it at? In verse 2 of chapter 4, 2 Timothy, preach the Word. We don't need to give our thoughts about it. We don't need to give book reports. We don't need to get us an article out of some magazine. We ought to listen, bless God, getting the Word of God till the Word of God gets into us. And bless God when we pray. I get that boldness that comes by prayer and through the stirring and the the moving of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, then we'll be able to bless God how to do things that we can't on our own. How we'll get that unction. We'll get that anointing. We'll get that touch from God. Oh, listen, friend, how we need men. We need men of God. Listen, that'll proclaim clearly, I'm the Word of God. And He said this to the church of Philadelphia. He said, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, which no man can shut. Now watch this. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Oh, the church is amazing, is it not? It's a wonderful entity. I mean to tell you, it's costly, do you hear me? In its purchase, it was purchased by the blood of God Himself. It's amazing in its abilities. We're empowered by the Spirit of God, who is God Himself. And we've been entrusted with the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? That's the book that men need. That's the place people will have find answers. Bless God, it not only contains the power of God, but it is the power of God unto salvation. It teaches us how to live. It teaches us how to die. It teaches us, friend, about eternity. It teaches us, listen, everything that we need to know that pertains to life and godliness. And oh, I'm thankful for the church, aren't you? If you're a part of it, live like you are. Be holy, be faithful, be thankful, be prayerful, be rejoicing. Separate yourself from the Word. Separate yourself unto God. Thank God for the church that Jesus purchased with His blood, empowered by the Spirit, and entrusted with His Word.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.